بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our lesson tonight, we'll be talking about the immigration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the da'wah started in Mecca, then shifted to Medina, because of the immigration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, it did make a big change in the balance of powers at that time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the revelation of prophethood at the age of 40, when he was a resident of Mecca. He used to go to the cave of Hira every now and then, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pondering about the magnificence of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he used to help the poor and the needy when they used to come to him while he was isolated in that cave, the cave of Hira. Then one day, Angel Jibreel alayhi salam descended with the first five verses of Surah Al-Alaq, Iqra, which means read, to which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, "Ma ana biqari." And that means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wasn't amongst those who were able to read and write, and that was for a wisdom. So when he starts propagating the da'wah, the revelation, people won't say this is something that he has read in the previous books. So they will know, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't read and write, that will be absolutely revelation from God. Especially when he told them about the previous nations, some of the events that took place in the past, and they know that only the one who has read in the previous books was able to talk about these events. And since the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not read any of the previous books, that must be a revelation from God. So that was for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in particular a sign of the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For other than a prophet, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for one to be illiterate, this will be classified as discredit in his side. But for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it wasn't a discredit in his side, rather it was for a wisdom. So when he tells them about the previous nations, they know he must be a prophet. And that's what was mentioned in one of the narrations that two Jewish men whispered to each other, saying, "Let us go to this prophet and ask him about some questions, because only the prophet would be able to answer these questions." And this is what happened. They came to the prophet and they said to him, "We want to ask you about these questions that only the prophet is able to answer." They asked him and he answered them. And they knew, they said, "We do testify that you are a prophet." Then he said to them, "So what prevents you from embracing Islam and following me?" Then they said, "We are worried that if we follow you, we might be killed." That's one incident. Another incident, Abdullah ibn Salam, who was a scholar of the Jews in Medina, came to the Prophet as well and asked him about some questions. And he said, "If you answer these questions, that will be a sign that you are a prophet." When the prophet answered his questions, he testified that no one is God except Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Why? Because such people know that only a prophet can tell about these matters. And since the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was illiterate, meaning doesn't read and write, that was a sign to the prophet that he is truthful, that he is the messenger of God. So for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for him being illiterate is not a discreditation in his side. Rather, it's a sign that he is truthful, that he is a prophet. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma ana biqari," meaning "I don't read." Then he said, "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi 'allama bil-qalam, 'allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam." These five verses were the first ones to be revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Upon hearing this, he went to his wife Khadija and he was shivering. He felt with coldness in his body and he said, "Cover me, cover me." They covered him. Then she took him to her uncle, Waraqa ibn Nawfal. He went to him and he told him about what he heard. And he told him, "This is the revelation that came down to Moses." And he said to him, "If I were to remain alive until your people force you out of Mecca, I will support you." Then he said to him, "Are they going to force me out of Mecca?" He said, "Yes, there is no prophet that would come to people with what you are going to bring to them without being forced to leave." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started propagating the da'wah. The first woman to embrace Islam was his wife Khadija. The first man to embrace Islam was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, the best companion and the best person in this nation after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first child to embrace Islam was Ali ibn Abi Talib, his cousin. Then one by one, Muslims started growing in number in Mecca. The non-believers were not happy about this situation, the spread of Islam in Mecca. People leaving out, worshipping the idols and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They started torturing them. They put them under siege. They prevented them from having any access to food or drink. For 3 years they were under siege in Mecca, in some streets of Mecca, and they refused to deal with them in any type of transaction. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was patient, and the companions were patient as well. Amongst what happened to the companions, about the examples of torture and hardship they experienced, is what happened to Bilal ibn Rabah al-Habashi, who later on became the muezzin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bilal ibn Rabah was a slave for a person called Umayyah before he was liberated by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, because Abu Bakr purchased him and liberated him. Before that, once his master, who was one of the leaders of the non-believers in Mecca, the pagans in Mecca, knew about him embracing Islam, he put him into a great hardship and torture. He started whipping him, torturing him. He would put him on the sand of the desert. And if you don't know the temperature in Mecca during the day, to what extent it reaches, it's very, very hot temperature. You cannot walk on the sand when it is during the day. He would put him on the sand with a big rock on his stomach and whipping him and torturing him. And he was requesting of the companion Bilal to say a word of blasphemy. He would say to him, "Mention our idols with something good." And Bilal would reply, "Ahadun ahad, ahadun ahad," meaning Allah is one without a partner. So he only mentions Allah Azza wa Jal. He doesn't mention these idols that people made and worshipped. He would say, "Ahadun ahad, ahadun ahad." Then he keeps on torturing him to an extent that he was despaired of his case, that he said to him, "Don't you know other than this word, ahadun ahad?" He said to him, "I swear to God, had I known another word that would tease you more than this one, I would have said it. Ahadun ahad, ahadun ahad." So he was steadfast on the path of Islam despite this amount of torture that he received from his master. He was so patient until Abu Bakr came and purchased him and liberated him. Ammar ibn Yasir, they tortured him. They tortured his parents in front of his eyes. They asked him to leave Islam, or otherwise they kill his parents. He refused. He remained steadfast on Islam. They killed his father. They killed his mother. And his mother was the first martyr in Islam. Her name was Sumayya, the mother of Ammar. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, "Patience. Patience, O family of Yasir, as the promise of Allah for you is paradise." They remained patient. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, when this ayah was revealed, "وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ," warn your close relatives and family members. He went to the Mount of As-Safa. It was a mountain. And he called people of Mecca. "Oh, people of Mecca." They gathered around him. They know he is the trustworthy. They know he is the truthful. He said to them, "If I were to tell you that a group of horsemen are coming behind this mountain to attack you. Would you have believed me? They said, yes, of course, we haven't experienced you lying to us. Because they know he is the truthful, he is the trustworthy. Then he said, then bear witness that I am the messenger of Allah sent to you. The first one to oppose him was his uncle, Abu Lahab. He said to the Prophet, Tabban laka. Tabban laka is an expression used to discredit someone, meaning, may you become in loss. Alihaza jama'atana, for this reason you gathered us, meaning to tell us that you are the messenger of Allah. And Allah revealed this surah, Tabbat yada abi lahabin wa tab. Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. His money, his wealth that he gathered won't benefit him. Sayasla naran zata lahab. He will be admitted into a fearful fire. That's on the day of judgment. Blazing fire. وَمْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبِ. His wife that used to carry the thorns to throw him in the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فِي جِيدِهَا, around her neck on the day of her judgment. حَبْلٌ مِّن مَسَد, like a rope made of fire. So she will be wrapped, strangled with a rope made of fire on the day of judgment. The Prophet remained patient. They used to harm the Prophet and harm the companions. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, as in the hadith narrated by Abu Bakr al-La'al in his book Makarim al-Akhlaq, I was between the worst two neighbors. Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt wa Abi Lahab. Abu Lahab, his uncle. They used to throw what comes out of people, faces and the like, in front of my door. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was patient. And once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was praying before the Kaaba, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt, the second one, came and wrapped the clothes of the Prophet around his neck, trying to strangle him with his own clothes. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was getting choked from this. Abu Bakr came and pushed him away and said to him, why you are killing a person for just telling you that Allah is my Lord? And the Prophet remained patient. The companions remained patient. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directed a group of the companions to immigrate, the first immigration to Ethiopia, Abyssinia. In that time, it was called Abyssinia. So they went, and there were about 80 people. They went to Abyssinia. The non-believers of Mecca heard about this group of companions heading to Abyssinia. So they rushed to the king of Abyssinia, known as Ashama al-Najashi. And the Prophet told them, he was Christian, the king of Abyssinia, but he was just for his people. And he said, go to him, and I hope for you that you won't be mistreated in his land. So they went to him. And there were a group of companions. Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, the brother of Imam Ali, said, let me be the spokesman today, meaning on behalf of the whole group. So the non-believers sent a group of representatives to that king of Abyssinia, and they reached him before this group of the believers. And they said to him, a group of our cousins, they call them cousins, have come to your land. And they are turning people against us, turning our children against us. And they are mocking our idols. And they did such and such and such. He said, "Where are they?" And they brought with them, these people, presents to that king. He said, "Where are they?" They said to him, "They are in your land." And he asked his soldiers to bring them. So they brought them. And Ja'far said to them, "I'll be the spokesman today." So he went inside to that king. As they entered, they did not prostrate to the king, as was the habit of the people who attend the session of the king. And one of the non-believers said to Ashama, "See, they did not prostrate to you." Then Ashama said to them, "Why didn't you prostrate to me?" They said to him, "We only prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Then that non-believer said, "They say something different about Jesus and his mother, different to what you believe." Then he said to them, "What do you say about Jesus and his mother?" They said to him, "Jesus is a prophet and messenger of Allah. His mother is Virgin Mary, and that's the best woman ever lived." And they recited some verses from Surah Maryam to him. When they finished, he went to the ground and he grabbed a stick. And he said to the priests that were around him, "What do you add to what they say?" They said, "Nothing." He said, "Then I testify that no one is God except Allah and that Muhammad is a messenger of Allah." And they embraced Islam as well with him. Then he ordered that the presents will be knocked back on the people of Quraysh who came. And he said to them, "You can stay in my land for as long as you wish." Then he said, "I swear to God, had I not been in this position as the king of Abyssinia, I would have traveled to the Prophet and be the person that carry his shoes and pour water for him to make wudu from." And subhanAllah, he died before seeing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he died, the Prophet was in Medina. That was after 7 years. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Today a righteous Muslim has passed away, and that is the king of Abyssinia." And the Prophet prayed the funeral prayer in absence for Ashama al-Najashi. So he died as a righteous Muslim. It was narrated that they used to see a great illumination of light on his grave, the grave of Ashama al-Najashi. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met some people from Medina. They used to come for trade from Medina, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited them to embrace Islam, and they accepted. Then the following year, they came, 70 people, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Medina. And he sat with them in Mina. And he talked to them about Islam. And they followed the Prophet and they gave him the allegiance to support him and stay with him no matter what. Then they went back to Medina to propagate the religion of Islam. Upon these circumstances, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the order from Allah azza wa jal to send people to Medina. So he started sending them group by group, one by one. Whenever they have a chance, opportunity, they would leave Mecca and head to Medina. Sometimes at night, secretively, so the non-believers wouldn't realize about them leaving Mecca, so they won't harm them or stop them. They started immigrating to Medina one by one, group by group. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to ask the Prophet, "Should I leave?" And the Prophet used to say to him, "Wait, you might have a good companionship." And then he would say to the Prophet, "I ask you to be your companion in this trip." And the Prophet would tell him to wait. Many immigrated, including Umar Ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, who was so brave, so courageous, never felt any fear from the non-believers. Rather, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him the instructions to emigrate to Medina, he didn't leave at night or in a secret way. Rather, in the middle of the day, he took 40 weak people with him so no one can come near him. None of the non-believers dared to follow Umar radiallahu anhu because they know he is so firm. Now the non-believers, upon seeing this, they made a gathering in a place for the tribe where they make consultation. They call it Darun Nadwa, discussing what they should do about this matter. Then one of the non-believers said, "Let us kill him and finish him off, and we finish this call that he's bringing with him." Abu Jahl said, "No. If we do so, then his clan will turn against us." Another one said, "Let us banish him," meaning exile him out of Mecca. "Keep him away from us." Then Abu Jahl said, "No. Can't you see how smooth his talk is? So if you were to exile him, he will call other people and they will follow him. Then he will come back to you with a big army that you won't be able to fight." Then Abu Jahl said, "I have an opinion that didn't cross your minds." He said, "I think we should bring from every tribe a young person, young man, strong, well known in that tribe, prominent figure in that tribe, and they all come at once outside his house, and as he leaves his house, they hit him with the swords, one hit. So then all of them will be participants in his death, and the clan of Hashim won't be able to fight all the tribes, and they accept the indemnity for his death. And by this, we finish this matter." They said, "We'll do that." Now, Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, informed him about the plotting of the non-believers, what they have planned, and also told him not to stay in his house and to call Ali to sleep in his bed instead. The Prophet called Ali, asked him to sleep in his bed and to cover himself with a green cloak the Prophet used to cover himself with. He did. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to leave, those young, strong men were already outside his house. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out, grabbed a handful of dirt from the ground, and started sprinkling the dirt on their heads and reciting Yasin wal Quran al Hakim until he reached فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. We blocked their eyes so they don't see. It is as if they slept while they were standing outside. And he left them and went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And that was at a time that Abu Bakr never expected the Prophet to come at this time usually. Then his daughter said, "Here is the Messenger of Allah coming at this time." Abu Bakr said, "He wouldn't have come at this time unless there is something dangerous." So he went out to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and took him inside his house. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to me the order to emigrate to Medina." Then Abu Bakr said, "I ask you to be your companion in this trip." The Prophet said, "You are my companion." Abu Bakr started crying to an extent that his daughter said, "I haven't seen my dad crying out of happiness except for that day. Already Abu Bakr was planning for this trip. He had two camels that he used to feed regularly to prepare him for this long travel from Mecca to Medina, about 450 kilometers. So he said to the Prophet, I have already these two camels, one for you, one for me. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I won't take it from you for free, I'll pay for it. Abu Bakr insisted, but the Prophet refused until he took it by the price Abu Bakr purchased it for. Then Abu Bakr brought his servant, Amr ibn Fuhayra, to go with them, and they asked a person who was the guide for them in that trip to meet them after 3 days at the cave of Thawr. So they went, and Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr, started ripping some of her clothes to prepare the food and what they needed to take with them. She tied them up, and she was called for that reason Asma Zatun Nitaqain. And they headed to the cave of Thawr. Now the cave of Thawr is in the opposite direction of Medina. So it's not in the direction of Medina, in the opposite direction. And this is like a decoy for the non-believers, so they don't follow them in the normal route to Medina, because they expect them, if they were to go to Medina, to select a specific route. So they went to the other direction, to the cave of Thawr. And the Prophet said, we stay here. And they stayed for 3 nights in that cave. It was mentioned that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was extremely worried about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to an extent that he started ripping his clothes and blocking all the holes in the cave, fearing that a snake or scorpion might come out of one of the holes and harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They mentioned that except for one hole, he didn't have anything to rip more than, because he was wearing the essentials, and he ripped the rest to cover all these holes. So he blocked the last hole with his heel, by his foot. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was putting his cheek, his honorable cheek, on the thigh of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Then a snake came and bit the heel of Abu Bakr. Look to what extent Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, despite the pain that he felt, he was trying to hold himself so the Prophet wouldn't wake up. But he couldn't stop one tear from running down on his cheek and falling on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on his face. The Prophet realized and he said, what happened? He told him. The Prophet said, give me your foot, and he took from his honorable saliva and wiped where that snake bit Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he was cured instantly. Now at the time when those non-believers were standing outside his house getting ready to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one person passed by. He said, what are you doing here? They said, waiting for Muhammad to come out so we kill him. He said, I saw him passing by you and sprinkling the dirt on your heads. So everyone started checking his head, and they found the dirt on their heads. And they went to different directions, chasing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They brought experts in footprints so that we can chase the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they were approaching the cave of Thawr, where the Prophet was inside. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Prophet with the weakest means of protection, not with tanks or aircrafts or whatever a person would think of these days, spider web and a pigeon. The spider made its cobweb on the mouth of the cave, and the pigeon came and laid its eggs on the mouth of the cave. As they came closer to the cave, the Prophet and Abu Bakr were able to see their feet, the bottom half. And Abu Bakr said, O Messenger of Allah, if any of them were to look down, he would be able to see us. And the Prophet ﷺ said, O Abu Bakr, don't worry, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supporting us. When they reached the cave, they said, the experts, up to here, the footprints end. They said, but it's impossible that he would be inside without tripping the cobweb and with this pigeon here laying its eggs. So they left and walked away. After 3 days, the guide came and the servant of Abu Bakr, and they headed towards Medina. On the way, the non-believers were searching for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When one said, in the presence of a person called Suraqa, he said, I've seen a couple of people heading towards that direction. I think they are the ones. Suraqa said, in my heart I knew that it was a prophet. But I said to him, no, you are mistaken. But straight after he went to his house and he prepared what he needs, and he took his horse and he followed them. And he was able to reach them. The Arabs were expert in these matters. As he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his way, he realized that the Prophet was going straight. Abu Bakr would move from right to left, front to back, different directions. And the Prophet asked him, why you are doing so? Abu Bakr replied, I fear for you that the enemies might approach you from the front side, so I say to my mind, I'll be before you. Then I think maybe they gonna approach us from behind, so I walk behind. Then I think maybe from the right, maybe from the left. So just to protect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Suraqa reached them, the legs of the horse sank in the sand. He knew, he said, this is from Muhammad. And he called the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he asked the Prophet to supplicate Allah for him. And he did, and it went back out of the sand. And he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I promise you that I will not let the non-believers know your route. I will mislead them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote something for him, asked Abu Bakr to write something for him, and he left him, let him go. So he went, and the Prophet continued his way to Medina. If you were to think about this journey, it's not a normal journey. It's a very hard journey in the heat of the desert for a couple of days, no shelter, nothing. It wasn't an easy journey. On the way, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by a lady known as Ummu Ma'bad al-Khuza'iyya. This lady used to have a tent, and she used to stay by her tent. The passerbys would pass by her and drink from the milk, or give them water, provide them with something. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by her tent. As he passed by her tent, they asked her to provide them with some meat or dates so they can buy. And they didn't find anything. And they were desperate for food and tired. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked around what she might have, all what he can see is a little sheep, female sheep, at the corner of her place in that tent. Then he said, "What is this, O Ummu Ma'bad?" She said to him, "This is the only sheep that we left behind. My husband took the rest for grazing, but this one is so weak to take it with him, so he left it here." Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Does it have milk?" And she said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "It's weaker than what you expect, and it wouldn't give one drop of milk." Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do you let me milk it?" She said, "Yes, if you can find any in it." Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought this sheep, placed his honorable hand on its udder and said, "Bismillah." And at that moment, it split its legs, ready to be milked, and the milk started gushing out abundantly. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started filling the containers she had from the milk of that weak, skinny sheep. And he gave the milk first to Umm Ma'bad to drink until she was satisfied. Then he gave his companions until they were satisfied. From that little sheep that was skinny, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam drank, and he said, "The one offering drink is the last to drink." Then after that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left her after she filled all her containers with milk from that little sheep. When her husband came back, all what he had, some goats and sheep, skinny and weak, when he came, he saw the milk in these containers. So he asked his wife, Ummu Ma'bad, "Where did he get that from?" And she said to him, "A blessed man passed by, and such happened." Then he said to her, "Can you describe him for me?" And she did. And what a nice description she gave for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "I have seen a man extremely handsome sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of glowing countenance and of good proportions." So if you look at the Prophet, everything in his body is proportionate, with neither a large stomach nor a small head, because the small head is a sign usually for the Arabs that this person is not intelligent. So she said he didn't have a big stomach and his head wasn't small. He is smart of appearance, with balanced features, deep black eyes and long eyelashes. His voice is not coarse. In another narration, that he had a type of hoarseness in his voice, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has a long neck, a full rounded beard, and thick eyebrows close to meet each other. When he is silent, he is stately and composed, and when he speaks, his appearance is impressive. He is the most beautiful and striking man from a distance, when you see him from a distance, and the best and most beautiful from close. He is well spoken, clear in what he says, saying neither too much nor too little. So if he were to explain something, he wouldn't say too much and not too little. Exactly what is needed. He mentions exactly what is needed. His words, flowing forth like a perfect string of pearls. This is how they come out of the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is neither too tall nor overly short, a stately man in the company of two other stately men, Abu Bakr and Amr ibn Fuhayra, the servant. And he is the most prominent among them and the most well-respected. He has companions who surround him. If he speaks, they listen to him. And if he commands, they hasten to fulfill his command. He is well served and attended, though he is neither stern nor argumentative. So by that description, she described the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to her husband. Upon hearing this, her husband said, "I swear to God, this is the man that the tribe of Quraysh is looking for." And they mentioned about him in Mecca. "And I would try my best to follow his way and go to him." And later on, people started hearing a voice in Mecca without seeing anyone saying it, saying a poem that says, "Jazallahu Rabbun Nasi Khayra Jazaihi Rafiqaini Halla Khaymatay Ummi Ma'badi Huma Nazalaha Bilhuda Wahtadat Bihi Faqad Faza Man Amsa Rafiqa Muhammadi Salu Ukhtakum An Shatiha Wa Inaiha Fa Innakum In Tasalu Shata Tashhadi." It means, may Allah reward the two companions that attended the tent of Ma'bad. They brought guidance to people. How lucky is the one who is the companion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. "Ask your sister," meaning Ma'bad, "about her shape and the containers that she filled with milk. And if you were to ask the sheep itself, it will bear witness to this matter as well." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued his way to Medina. It was mentioned that later on Ma'bad followed the Prophet to Medina and embraced Islam. People in Medina were expecting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at any time. Every day they would go out to the skirts of Medina, looking to the direction of Mecca, hoping that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will arrive. Until one day, it was midday and the noontime, it was very hot. They saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr and his servant Amir coming from a distance. So they said, "Here is the one that you are waiting for." So people of Medina, the believers, went to the skirts of Medina, and as if they were saying, "Tala' al-Badru alayna min thaniyat al-wada'." وَجَبَ الشُّكْرُ عَلَيْنَا مَا دَعَى لِلَّهِ دَاعَ. They welcome the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with chants, and people from Ethiopia started dancing with their spears, as they do usually their traditions, welcoming the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet first reached Quba in Medina. When he reached Quba, he built the first mosque in Medina. And that's the first mosque ever to be built in Medina, called Masjid Quba. He built it and he prayed in it, and that was on Monday, the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal. Then after that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued his way. He reached a place where it was Friday. And that's when he made the first Friday prayer in that location where they have now a mosque. They call it the Mosque of Friday, Masjid al-Jumu'ah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached the heart of Al-Madinah. The believers in Medina, every tribe, every clan was keen to invite the Prophet to the suburb so he can build his house in that area, in the suburb. Whenever he passes by a group of people in a small suburb, they would say, "O Messenger of Allah, stay with us, build your house here, and we'll support you." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, "Leave the camel as it is ordered." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam let it free. It went until it reached the area where his relative from Bani Najjar was, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. It stayed there. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam built his house next to his house, close to it, and Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, Khalid ibn Zayd. There is a relation between the Prophet and Abu Ayyub al-Ansari from his mother's side. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed with him until they finished building his house. And he built the house and his mosque next to his house. From there, Muslims started growing in number. People would come in Medina to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and embrace Islam until Muslims grew in number in Medina. So the immigration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not looking for fame, was not out of fear from the non-believers, because the heart of the Prophet doesn't know fear from the non-believers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the strength of 40 men. So he wouldn't fear the non-believers. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not coward. And the reason why he immigrated to Medina, it was because of what? He received the order to go to Medina. When he reached Al-Madinah and he heard Bilal ibn Rabah talking about the nice places they used to spend to stay in Mecca, saying verses of poetry showing their longing for these places in Mecca. When the Prophet heard this, the Prophet said, "O Allah, I ask you to bless Al-Madinah for us as you blessed Mecca for us, and double." To double the bless of Medina than Mecca. "O Allah, bless them, the people of Medina, with their food and with their sa', meaning make the fruits they reap abundant, and keep the diseases away from Medina." So the Prophet made that supplication for the people of Al-Madinah. So he didn't immigrate out of fear or looking for money or looking for fame, never. Because when he was in Mecca and he was propagating the religion, and Abu Talib, his uncle, was alive at that time, the non-believers tried many avenues to stop the call of the Prophet, but they couldn't. At one stage they came to Abu Talib and they said, "Talk to your nephew, see what he wants to give away the da'wah he's making. What does he want in return? If he wants money, we would collect money for him until he becomes the richest amongst us. If he wants prestigious status in the tribe, we'll make him the chief of the tribe. If he wants to be the king, we'll make him the king of the tribe. And we don't do anything without consulting with him. Abu Talib came to the Prophet and told him about their offer. And the Prophet said, "Oh, my uncle, had they placed the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand in order for me to give away this da'wah, I would never do so. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants me victory, or I die for the sake of this da'wah." So the Prophet wasn't looking for money or fame or any prestigious status in the tribe. Rather, he was propagating the religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to propagate. And when he immigrated for that reason, to bring strength and success to the believers. One of the companions called Suhaib al-Rumi, who came to Mecca, and he was very poor, but he was smart in trading. He traded and traded and traded until he became very, very rich. And he embraced Islam. When the Prophet told people to immigrate to Medina, he wanted to do so. As he was trying to immigrate, the non-believers obstructed his way. They said to him, "You have come to us and you are very poor. Now after you have collected what you have collected of the wealth, you think we're going to let you go like that?" Then he did not hesitate to say to them, "What about if I leave everything for you? All my wealth, imagine, gardens, houses, everything. If I would give them to you, would you let me go?" They were shocked. They said, "Yes, we'll let you go." He said, "Take it. I don't want it." He gave everything away just to follow the Prophet. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard about this and he said, "Indeed, Suhaib has succeeded. Indeed, Suhaib has succeeded." This is for us to reflect upon it. I'm sure we don't have enough time. We can take longer to talk about all the events of surrounding this occasion. But for us to reflect upon this time, what we are experiencing and what the companions experienced at that time. You can see the amount of hardship they experienced and the strength of their steadfastness on the right path. And you see now how many people, young and even old, are deviating away from the right path, doing what is haram, neglecting performing the obligations, and they are not under that pressure that the companions were under. Look at the steadfastness of the companions and look at our situation now. You see how lazy we are. Look what happened to them and how steadfast they were. Look at us now. We get distracted by what? Silly worldly matters. Silly worldly matters we get distracted by. Some people might miss some of the prayers just for worldly matters. Or they rush to do what is haram without thinking. Without thinking. And look at the companions and what they did to bring this religion to the state it is now. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us steadfast on the path of the Prophet and his companions and to gather us with them on the day of judgment. Ameen. And Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.